Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, April 10th, 2025, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others on page 90, the first paragraph, When You Discover a Prospect. And we're reading through until the end of that paragraph, realizing they are dealing with a sick person. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Claire E., 12 Traditions, Patrick O., and readers of the text, Caroline S., Martha Z., and Nick F. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Claire E. is going to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater bulimic in the UK. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted that we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, Claire E. And Patrick O. will read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Patrick.
Good morning. This is Patrick, compulsive eater from Tennessee. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others, page 90, the top paragraph, When You Discover a Prospect, and we'll be reading and sharing on that one paragraph only. Carolyn S., would you like to get us started, please? Good morning.
Yes, hi, good morning. It's Carolyn S. from New York. Excuse my throat. Okay. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. This advice is given for his family also. They should be patient, realizing they are dealing with a sick person. Yeah, a lot of good stuff here. You know, when I consider a prospect as a sponsee, what I'm looking for is, are they desperate? Are they willing to go to any length? And then once we start working together, are they progressing or are they dragging their feet? I've worked with people who are so ready that I barely need to be in the room with them and they zip through. Others are not, you know, as willing. And my job in part is to use my abilities as a sponsor to help as many people as I can. So when I'm working with somebody, if I really feel like they don't want to be doing it and they're going to keep putting up roadblocks, I give a certain amount of leeway and then I say, you know, maybe I'm not the voice that you need to hear right now. Because while I'm working with this person, there's two things that are happening. One is I'm not helping someone else who may be ready. And the other is I'm giving them the impression that they are working the steps. And if they're not working, there's something wrong with the program. In reality, it's that we're not really working the steps, not in the spirit or the timing that's intended. And of course, the sponsee is their recovery. So we move at their speed within a certain amount of leeway. But my aim is to get them through the steps as quickly as possible. You know, I did it myself the last time in like 2.5 weeks, and that's awfully fast, I know. But especially for people who've been doing it a long time, and this is not their first rodeo, it's definitely doable. And after years of, you know, lots of relapses, yesterday was my 2-year anniversary, which is longer than I've ever had in OA. I've been here over 20 years, 22. And it takes what it takes, you know. And yes, I am dealing with a sick person. I'm also a person who remembers clearly what it was like to be sick. And I remember well how I felt this last time, how I'm truly miserable and hopeless. And I kind of, you know, threw myself at the feet of a former sponsor from several years back who has strong recovery And I said, please help me. I will do whatever it takes. And I did. And it's still a miracle to me that I am living in recovery today, that I am recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I'm very grateful. And those are my thoughts. Have a great day.
Thank you, Carol and S., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please, say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Harlan G.
Christine G.
Reba P.
Amy C. Anna S.
Did you get me, Lynn?
Yes, Harlan, thank you.
Okay.
Anna Yetta.
Me.
That's
yeah. Okay. Whoop. We've got our lineup here. Let me just see. I missed the last name. I'll tell you who I have. Harlan G., Christina G., Reva P., Amy C., Anna Yes, and Hana Yetta R. And who did I miss, please?
Vasa O.
Okay, there we
Thank
go.
You.
We've got our first lineup. Thank you. So we're going to start with Harlan G., followed by Christina G. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you very much for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. A very famous football coach in Chicago said, what you are doing is screaming so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying. And action is what I'm looking for. And when I want to sponsor, when I talk to somebody about sponsoring, I don't want to hear what they're not going to do. I don't want to hear what they don't think they can do. I want to hear what they are going to do. And I don't want to hear the word try. What did Master Yoda teach us in Star Wars? He taught us there is no try, either do or do not. And I want to hear complete willingness. And then I want to see complete willingness too. Because I know that in me, when I got dragged in here by my ear, I wasn't willing. And I didn't do what they were telling me to do. And I had a sponsor very early on, and I used to meet with him every Saturday afternoon, and he'd poke his finger in my chest, and he'd say, are you out of ideas yet, kid? Are you out of ideas yet, kid? Because I was 24 years old, and they were in their 50s and 60s, and they seemed so old to me. Now I'm 70. Now they seem young. But he'd say, are you out of ideas yet, kid? Because while I had ideas on how I was going to amend this and do it my way, I did not recover. It is when I completely surrendered, I completely was devoid of any kind of ideas that I recovered. I want to talk about something this morning that's very important to talk about that's not in the paragraph. Today is April the 10th. And 86 years ago today, on April the 10th, 1939, this book rolled off the presses. This book has answered questions and has given more addicts back to society than all other methods combined. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous is a miracle. I do not believe for a minute that Bill wrote the book. I believe Bill wrote the book down. I believe that he was divinely inspired. I believe that this book is the most important single event. The publication, the writing of this book is the most important single event in the history of recovery, in the annals of mankind. For thousands of years, children, parents, siblings, friends would look up at the sky with tears in their eyes and ask God, why my parent? Why my child? Why me? Why are they stricken with alcoholism, drug addiction, compulsive overeating, and the like? And today there is a solution on which we can all agree, and we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. No longer do we each have to amend this and change it and there is a codified method of recovery, and I, for one, am going to thank God today for the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which rolled off the press 86 years ago today, and it was, you couldn't give it away when it was first published.
Time, please.
And I will shut up with that. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Harlan G. in Scottsdale, Arizona. Christina G., you're up, followed by Reva P. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Christine G. in Connecticut. I'm so grateful to be able to share this morning and to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I thank you, Harlan, for that information. I'm so happy to know that today was the day. And yes, I have been so blessed with so many amazing sponsors. And the sponsor that I get to work with today is someone who has absolutely, wholeheartedly conveyed and given me patience. That one word in that paragraph means so much to me today. And because she's just been somebody who's been placing my hand in God's hand. And she has been unconditionally supportive and, you know, and I kept coming back. I kept practicing honesty. I just keep showing up, and sometimes I'm not doing the work, you know, or sometimes I'm half-assing it, as they say. And she just shows me and highlights, you know, what works for her and how doing the work works for her. And then eventually, because she's given me the space to hear that message and to feel the suffering when I need to feel it, whether it's about food or anything else, I am able to keep coming back. And it's such a gift for someone like me. Now, I would suspect if I didn't, you know, show up and do the work that eventually, you know, I would come to realize that I'm wasting her time. But, you know, so it is about doing the work. And I'm so grateful because I get to work with a sponsee and be able to give the same thing to her, that patience and that unconditional soft place who can identify with me, and I can, and she can identify, and I can identify with her, and we're doing it shoulder to shoulder. I'm guiding her through the book, but we're doing it shoulder to shoulder because that's all we can ever do is rigorously honest, working this, you know, this program one day at a time. And I'm just so grateful for that one word today. I'm going to carry that in my heart. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Christine G. Reva P., it's your turn, followed by Amy C. Hi, Reva.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. You know, the word persuade, in my experience, when I got here, nobody had to persuade me. Now, yes, you know, this business of attraction rather than promotion, what I saw in speakers, because I started off at speaker meetings and hearing where people were at or what their weights were or what their pictures, you know, pre-OA showed versus what I saw standing in front of me was so motivating and attractive. Yes, that was important. But for me, the disease was the great persuader. I didn't need anybody to persuade me that I needed this. I had tried everything in my power to fix myself, control this business. So when it comes to sponsoring, I love this sentence. If he does not want to stop, don't waste my time trying to persuade, because the disease needs to be the great persuader. I needed to be at my desperate place, and I believe we all I believe that's what motivates any of us to do this. Like, who really wants to get up early, listen to a meeting, do all this work, just like it says in the AA 12 and 12? None of us. But when I'm desperate, I'll do anything. And I love this business of, you know, not taking it personally. When I started sponsoring, like, what am I doing wrong? If I do this, maybe they would, you know, be doing better. I love hearing that, you know, the best sponsor, if somebody's not desperate and ready and willing, is not going to help somebody recover. And I don't even know what it means, best, worst sponsor, but, you know, we don't have to do it a certain way, because when I was ready, I just did whatever I needed to do. And I love the fact that the sponsor, yes, guides the person through the steps, but it's not all on me. This is about the disease persuades me, and then the fellowship supports me, the sponsor guides me, so that my hand gets put in the hand of God. So the power goes to the right place, the power of the disease and the power of God, the two opposite ends of the spectrum. And the last thing I'll say is this business of a sick person. When I first came in, it was wonderful to hear that term, sick, because I had been using good and bad. I had a good day with food, I had a bad day with food. And then, of course, I was a good person, I was bad. Bad Reva for doing this and that, these crazy, terrible, awful things I was doing with food. This is an illness, twofold in nature. And that whole business of judgment of good, bad is out of the picture. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. Next up is Amy C., followed by Anna S. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, this is Amy C. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Where are you calling from, Amy?
Houston, Texas. Hi, my name is Amy, compulsive overeater. So this is the first time I've shared in this meeting. I've been coming for a while, but so many people on here seem to have, like, years of recovery, and I felt intimidated to share because I'm on day 42. And but, you know, after I completed step 5 and have moved into steps 8 and 9 to start doing step 10, I felt more humble. And also the other day I made an outreach call and the person thanked me. It was like, well, thank you for helping me in my recovery. And I was like, what? My thought was like, what? I called you for support. How am I helping you? And I realized that every time I make an outreach call, it's not only about me. It's about the other person, too. Every time I make an outreach call, I am supporting the other person as well. I'm not sponsoring yet. I'm super close and super excited to start sponsoring. And I'm also, you know, I don't know that in the past I would have been ready and willing to let someone go if I needed to. But at this point, I am wanting to help and support people who will do whatever it takes, just as I have. And but I think it's also important to make sure the sponsee is a good match to based on what they're looking for in a sponsor as well. My first sponsor and I, she ended up dropping me because of some specific food items that she thought I shouldn't be eating. And it ended up, at first I was really upset, but it ended up being a really, really good thing because I found someone new who's absolutely wonderful and really walked me through my fourth and fifth step. And I identified some major, major patterns of selfishness and self-seeking and a massive fear of rejection and loneliness. And now that I've seen these patterns, my behavior's changing. And I was telling my sponsor the other day, I was like, I had no idea my husband's behavior would change once mine did. And I thought about it. He's like, he doesn't have to be reactive anymore because I'm not putting him in a defensive place. Like, I'm being kinder and being aware of my actions. So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy C. from Texas. Next up is Anna S., followed by Hanayeta R. Good morning, Anna.
Hi, Anna S. from Wisconsin, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Truly sick people. I mean, I am still in awe of how sick I truly am, was. Listening to sponsors, I mean, I was through, I don't even know, 12, 13 sponsors because I wanted to do it my way, you know. I'm sick. I was diabetic for years without even knowing it, and until a doctor found that my sugar was 700 and my A1C was 12.6, and I've done all this damage to my eyes, to my nervous system, to my heart, to my digestive system, so much damage, and still I wouldn't listen to my sponsors, and still I wouldn't listen to my doctors. I mean, my real low, it wasn't when I had one of my surgeries because my diabetes took one of my organs from me. Because after that surgery, the next day I was driving down to go get my breakfast sandwich I like and my designer coffee and a whole box of donuts and two designer donuts to go on top of it. Okay? I'm sick. And so it took me a long time to hear the message. And my husband is also in the program, and he's my Ebby. You know, and his eyes were sparkling, and he was losing tons of weight working with his sponsor, working the program. And I kept getting fired by my sponsors because I didn't want to do the work. You know, I wanted to do it my way. Oh, my diabetes, my sugar's going low, you know. And finally, I found a sponsor who's, you know, he don't got time to waste. So he's like a drill sergeant, you know. He's like a drill sergeant. And you know, is got a lot to offer. And with him, I've lost like 20 pounds in a month, you know. I mean, because I'm doing the program. And it's not just cutting back the food. It's actually doing the work, talking to higher power, learning how to call people, how to have brevity, not saying too much, but saying enough that I can do the work. And then passing it on, calling someone with less time than I have. So if you're someone with 2 days or someone with 3 days, there's someone with no days who needs you to call them for outreach, because there's a lot of crazy people out there floating around that have seats in these rooms that don't even know it, you know, and it takes time and clarity. And I'm so grateful to be here and to have the sponsor that I have and to have a growing network of people, you know, who I can call. And I keep calling every single time I call someone for outreach. I follow that up with calling someone who has less time than me. So whatever that means to you, if you've got 3 days, call someone who's brand new. And, you know, and I'm grateful. Please. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna S. from Wisconsin. Hanayeta R. from Texas, it's your turn, followed by Vasa O. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. You do such a good job. This is Hanayeta R. from Texas. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm so glad to be here today. Happy birthday, Big Book. And I want to wish everyone who's celebrating the Passover holidays have a kosher the Pesach, and we should all be in Yerushalayim next year. So, with all that said, dealing with a sick person, you know, I had to realize that. Well, first of all, when it said at the very beginning, you know, that when we are, that this is a disease, I was so thrilled to find out that it wasn't a moral issue, that I wasn't eating the way I did because I was morally sick, but because I was spiritually sick, and that I have a disease. And to me, it made all the difference in the world. Somebody has already said, I realized it wasn't a bad person trying to get good. I was a sick person trying to get well. And it just made all the difference in the world for me. But now going back to sponsoring, you know, I do believe that if you're sponsoring somebody, it says don't waste time trying to persuade them. You know, if you're sponsoring somebody and they are just fighting you with every single thread in their body, everything you suggest that they do, and it's interrupting your peace of mind or my, you know, serenity in my program, then I have got to let them go. Because I'm not here to relapse because of the sponsee, you know, and I'll do everything I can and stay with them as long as I can. But at time comes when I am so, a good Yiddish word, famished, like loco, like crazy, then I have to let them go with love, with tenderness as much as I can, and just say we're not a good match. So if you haven't gotten your miracle yet, don't quit 5 minutes before it comes. It's there for you. Everyone has a miracle. Thank you for your service, dear.
Thank you, Hannah Yetta R. from Texas. And now we have Vasa. Oh, good morning, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service and everybody's service this morning. It's a beautiful paragraph to meditate on it. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And yes, my Abby came from AA, but her number one addiction away. And she was really having more difficult time with the OA than the AA because she said, well, I could just put the cork in the bottle. And that's it. With food, we're surrounded all over, you know, with food. But for me, she had been abstinent for a couple of years, I believe. And she 12-stepped me for about a week before she took me to my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. And that's what we used, the big book. So I was introduced to the big book already right from then. Became like my Bible. And somebody's is unmuted. Can somebody press star one? Join you, please. I get distracted. So it didn't take her long to win me over. Because we had been friends for a while, and we both struggled with food addiction. And when I saw her after a while, came to my kitchen, like Abby and Bill had that experience, she came through my kitchen, and I said, wow, what have you done? You look wonderful. She had beautiful, she lost weight. She had shiny eyes. She looked peaceful. And she's a teacher, so there was a way of, like the way she was teaching me and that I could understand. And she shared her experience, and I could identify with her. And, yeah, I was so ready, and I was, well, I would have done anything. I had the gift of desperation. I would have done, which I did everything I could because I didn't want to die. And I was willing and I was open, but I remember she saying, well, this is a gift from God, you know, abstinence, to stay away from certain foods. I said, are you kidding? This is a gift. This is torture for me to give up all these foods that I love and I love the effects of them over the years. But anyways, she told me when we came from the first meeting, mark your calendar. This is, you're going to start your abstinence tonight. Now, and that's what I did, and I wish I could tell you it was easy. After I prayed to God, I wanted to get up and go in the kitchen and eat, and no, I already had eaten, and that was going to, the next morning, I wanted to cry like a baby. I wanted those foods that I craved.
Time, please.
Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Oh. For those of us who might have joined the meeting a little bit later, just to let you know where we are in the chapter Working with Others on page 90, the top paragraph, When You Discover a Prospect. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share, please?
Elizabeth D.
Nancy P.
Ken W.H.
Okay, I heard Elizabeth
Marian.
P., Nancy P., Ken W.H., and then Marion snuck in there. Hi, Marion. Who else?
Nick Priscilla.
Okay, now I think I heard Nick F., and was there somebody else there, please?
Priscilla. H.
Okay. All right. We've got our lineup. Thank you, everybody. Elizabeth D., Nancy P., Ken W.H., Marion, Nick F., and Priscilla H. And can you please tell us where you're calling from when you share? So good morning, Elizabeth D. Welcome.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and very grateful this morning. I wasn't going to share this morning, but on earlier share has prompted me to claim my seat. Today is my birthday. I am 67 years old. And hearing that today is the birthday when the big book came off the presses really floored me. I had not known that, and that was just very meaningful, and I thought, oh, I guess this is a day when I really should share. I want to talk about my sponsor and patients. 2 years ago, just about 2 years ago, I was at the end of my rope, yet another relapse, and I called a friend in program that I've known for, gotta be 15 or, I don't know, 20 years, 15 years probably. And she and I had been in another aspect of OA, which was very rigid. And, but I knew that she had long-term recovery, that she had recovered, and that she had a spiritual connection, a very strong spiritual connection. So I called her. And we started working the program together, and 2 years later, she's still my sponsor, and she has been so patient with me, and I think the fact that we had both come from a very rigid way of working the program has really helped me, because I have been entirely abstinent since we started, but, you know, there are times when I really feel there are times when I feel the pull toward the food, and there are times I come out of a restaurant and I think, wow, I ate too much. And I call her, and because of this trauma I have from that rigid way of doing the program, sometimes I think, oh, she's going to fire me. Well, she never does. She always just reminds me that I'm a compulsive overeater who is recovered and not cured. So let's look at where you might need to do a 10th step. And how is your meditation in the morning? And are you sponsoring someone? Maybe it's time to sponsor someone again. Or maybe you need a second sponsee. So she's been great. This time around, I work the steps very slowly. I do believe that there's no cookie-cutter way. It's either fast or slow. Whatever your higher power in your discernment process with your sponsor helps me decide how I need to work the steps. And I'm very, very grateful today. I'm 67 years old. I never thought I would 7, but I'm awfully grateful that I am 67 and that I made it to this age. And I'm one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life was going to my first OA meeting. And with that,
time, please. Thank you, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts. Nancy P., good morning. It's your turn, followed by Ken W.H. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Lynn. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share. Recovered in Boston at the moment. So, you know, when I finally, 47 years in, decided that I wanted to get better, I had come to this meeting and I listened, you know, felt better. Who wouldn't feel better when they come to this meeting? Nobody's talking about broccoli. They're all talking about spiritual recovery. And so I knew that I was going to have to dip my toe in a little deeper. So I took a bunch of numbers and, you know, people who were available. And I, you know, I thought about it. And then I heard a couple of people share that didn't share very often. And I found their numbers because they never volunteered to sponsor. And I called one of them or texted one of them, "Will you please help me?" She called me back a week from the following Friday because she only returns calls of that nature on certain days because she's very busy. And she said, "Tell me about yourself." And all I said was, "If you'll help me, I'll do anything you say." I didn't care about the steps. I didn't care about abstinence. I just wanted to get better. And I was willing to be directed. And she took me through, and she was not my friend, is not my friend, and will never be my friend, but she was an excellent sponsor, and she knew the book inside out. And, you know, she taught me to sponsor. I mean, that's what worked with me, so that's how I sponsored. That's how I recovered. And very quickly, I'll just say that one woman, you know, I volunteered to sponsor, and someone called me, you know, and I said, okay. We ended up working together, and she was just like Jim. She picked up a half a dozen times in quick succession, and every single time I talked to her about it, and it always came back to a food that she agreed was an alcoholic food but kept eating. And I said, when she said that, I thought, be flexible. And I said, finally, I said, I think you're going to have to give that food up. And she said, well, I don't want to. And I said, but you said it's an alcoholic food. You keep picking up. I mean, you know, the equation is clear. And she said, well, I kind of think of this as a process. And I said, well, I don't, so I don't think this is going to work out for you. And she was mad, like, you're dumping me? And I said, no, I'm not dumping you, but I run this store called Nancy P's Experience, Strength, and Hope, and that's all that's for sale in it, and you're not buying it, so you should work with someone that has something else. And, you know, specifically my sponsor told me, do not ever compromise or be flexible with sponsees. Don't do it. But I thought, Nancy P, I always think she knows better, so that's the last time I did that, and now I'm working with someone, and I said, tell me about yourself. And she said, well, first of all, I tried to work with you 5 years ago, but you fired me because I was always late. I said, oh, yeah, I'm still like that, you know, so don't be late. And so she just told me yesterday that she's really grateful that I, you know, that she got that lesson. And, you know, the last thing that I'll say is I don't care what my sponsees eat. I don't care, but they should. The only reason I care if people are on time is because that affects me. But at the same time, having said that, I will always pick up the phone if I am able to, no matter where I am, no matter what time of day or night it is. I make a ton of phone calls. Thank you. Because that's where it all began, you know, with reaching out to other people. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Ken W.H., good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Glad to be here. I couldn't get past the first part of the first sentence. When you discover a prospect. What am I looking for if I'm looking to discover a prospect? Am I out hunting for something? Am I joining the wagon train west and looking for gold, going prospecting, jumping on a motorcycle with a sidecar and with Lois by my side like Bill W. and driving off into the west for the next find, the next treasure? I don't do that today. I'm not a prospector. I don't go out looking. And the program's different than it was back then when you had to go find somebody or you didn't have anybody to talk to. Well, now it's all been reversed in a kind of way, at least the way I see it. I've become the prospect. I put my name out at the end of the second hour to be a sponsor. So there's else prospecting, looking for a treasure, looking for the answer, the solution to their problem, might choose me. or might choose somebody else. I've become a prospect, and that's a weird, weird feeling to be out there. I've had so many folks be in touch with me, prospecting, and go in another direction. And that's fine with me. That's okay. Go look at a different mountain for your gold vein, whatever, or your solution to this disease. I don't have any qualms with that. I'm just aware that I get that feeling that I've been prospected and found wanting, or they just didn't find what they needed or wanted at the time. I need to let all that go. I'm not a prospect. I'm a recovering compulsive eater who was killing myself, and I have found a solution that works. And I'll talk with anybody that really wants it, that wants to find that treasure in these 12 steps, and willing to work like crazy with them. But if you're prospecting and looking for an easier, softer way, I'm not the guy to call. Just throwing it out there. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, KWH from North Carolina. Next up is Marion. So, Marion, can you please give us your last initial and where you're calling from? And good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much, moderator, for doing the most wonderful service. My name is Marion H., and I'm from Florida. And thank you, Harlan, for telling us that today is the Big Book's birthday. It is so amazing that this wonderful book exists, and it's more amazing that I found a different God and the steps because of the Big Book, and I'm so, so forever grateful for it. And I'm in the rooms a very long time, but I never left, and I had lots of sponsors in recovery and relapse, and I'm happy to say that I am recovered, and I am working all the steps, and I am talking to God, and I am meditating, not as much as I should be, but I'm just so grateful that I remained with this most wonderful program and the people who are in it, and don't ever leave before the miracle comes to you, because it does come eventually. And I'm still nervous about sharing, even though I've been around for a very, very long time. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody in November. And I thank you so much. Have a beautiful, blessed day. And I pass.
Thank you, Marion H. from Florida. Nick S., you're next on our list, followed by Priscilla H. Hi, Nick. Nick, press star 1 to unmute, please. Okay, maybe I didn't hear Nick F. Let's try
Nick,
Priscilla.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Can you hear me?
There she is. Yeah, gotcha, Nick. Thanks.
Okay. I was whispering my name, but I had to remember when you're on this call, you better say your name. You're going to get skipped over. I'm glad to get on the lineup. You know, I'm learning sometimes, not so much. Maybe when I first started sharing, I would get intimidated. But now, sometimes I don't share just out of laziness. It's early in the morning, just a little honesty there. But I love this paragraph, and I love maybe in the past I used to hate that I could speak to these things from so many different perspectives, but thank God my life has been spared. You know, I used to sit in the bed in one spot over 400 pounds of 5X, and I would be about to eat the wrappers. I wanted to, the way I used to eat. And I had to get a sponsor, and I wanted to, I needed to want to work with someone more than I wanted my next bite. And so sometimes when I've worked with people in the past, I just have to be honest. I'm not going to help you kill yourself. If you still want to eat, you can get off my line, you know. And I don't care about being cute because I know cupcakes kill. And I have been fired, and I have fired in this program, I didn't have to find nobody because I knew this was life and death. But I've had people let me go. Okay, and far as sponsees, yeah, I've had to let sponsees go because I got my kids back today. I got a job back today, and food had took everything from me. So from that perspective, I had to be willing to do anything. And from the other perspective, I don't got a lot of time to waste because I didn't got my life back. But also from the family perspective, you know, my kid was using marijuana. I simply told him, if you want to quit, you know where to go. And I ain't say nothing else about it. Y'all, my kid coming up on 60 days in a program. I ain't said but one sentence to him. I left it alone. In the end, he said, Mama, could you take me to your other meetings? We went, and now he's doing his own deal. I do got to remember to be patient with him. I do got to remember to be patient with myself. But, again, I'm not going to help nobody kill themselves today. If somebody still want to eat, let them eat. You know, and just to close up, you know, I got fired in 2015. I was drinking and eating, and my OA sponsor saved my life. She said, you calling me, and you getting drunk. You slurred speech. She said, I'm an alcoholic, and I cannot take you through the big book in OA. She said, go work them steps in that other program and come back. If she would have let me still been getting drunk and still eating, I'd still be getting drunk and eating today, or I'd be dead. I took my last drink on that night. That lady hung up my phone, and that was an OA sponsor who told me she would not do this with me. That was August 2nd, 2018, and I'm clean and sober now. But also, when I came back to OA, I knew I was going to have to do it for real. And I'm 4 years abstinent and recovered by this line and God's help. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nick F. And Priscilla H., you're going to be our last share this morning. Good morning, Priscilla.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Priscilla H., grateful to be in this program and in this meeting today. You know, this chapter, working with others, I used to, for my first many, many years in program, I thought it was totally uninteresting. I had no interest in this chapter. In recent years, since I've been in Vision for You and having a different perspective on the big book, I've come to recognize how important it is to me, and I've really focused on it. And I like to think of it as the IF chapter, I-F, the IF chapter. I counted that little two-letter word, IF, in this chapter, and I found it in there 60 times. I circled every one of them, and I might have missed some, so I like to call it the IF chapter. If I am somebody who looks up words in my paper dictionary, an IF means an uncertain possibility, a condition on which something depends, provided that, used at least 60 times in here. I also looked up the word sponsor. You know how many times the word sponsor is used in this chapter about working with others? Zero. Zip. It's not in here. Nada. Not in here at all, ever, in this chapter. And in fact, not in the first 164 pages. It can be found in some of the stories in the back half of the book. So the message of this chapter to me is be a friend. Don't be somebody who takes responsibility for another person, but be a friend. Be interested in his or her career or welfare. And one more thought that comes to me, when somebody has finished reading, at least reading all those first 12 steps, I don't say, well, okay, now I'm not your friend anymore. Go find some more friends. No, a friend doesn't say that. A friend may talk less often with a friend, but a friend is a friend forever. And so the friend that I have found through this program is my higher power, the God of my not understanding. So thanks for letting me share, and with that I'll pass.
Marcella H., and thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Thursday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share ID for this morning, Thursday, April 10th, our 7 a.m. meeting, is 22334. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Martha Zed, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Lynn. Good morning, my friends in recovery. I'm Martha Z., compulsive overeater living outside of Philadelphia, grateful to be living in recovery. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. Surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep